talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. By far the biggest news item, it was on the front page of the New York Times today, is the Wisconsin election for Supreme Court. Primary, February 21, general, April 21. You realize that February 21 is 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. 3 weeks from this this coming Tuesday to winnow down a field of four down to two. This is a nonpartisan primary, which means when you go in, you can vote in either primary and it doesn't affect anything else you do. For instance, in the Milwaukee area, there is a state Senate race in the 8th Senate district. And if you can vote in the Republican primary, the Democratic primary, but both can still vote in the nonpartisan state Supreme Court primary. It's 3 weeks from Tuesday, folks, 3 weeks from Tuesday. The New York Times had two pictures in it of the four candidates, one of Janet Protasiewicz. That's the person I'm supporting. She's terrific. Judge Janet, Protasiewicz. She is the fundraising leader of all the candidates combined. She raised more money, more support than all of them combined. But I want to go through the four of them right now, tell you how important it is to vote on February 21. We'll start with Janet. Janet a prosecutor in the Milwaukee County DA's office for well over 20 years, I think around 26 years. I personally do not know any Supreme Court candidate who has ever prosecutor longer than that and had as many complex cases as she did. And then she became a judge and was reelected and has a superb reputation. The most experienced prosecutor and judge in that field, in my opinion. Second one, and actually before I go to the second one, New York Times pointed out that she very bravely at one of the forums said flat out, bring on a gerrymandering case because these elections are rigged, these maps are rigged, we need fair maps. And remember, it's a 4-3 Republican Supreme Court. They're not supposed to be Republican or Democrat, but that's the way it's shaken out. One of them one of the conservatives is retiring, and so it's 3-3. Whoever wins this is going to determine the Supreme Court for 10 years. 10 years. It's a 10-year term. If, and this is a statement from the advocates for getting rid of gerrymandering, if Janet Protasiewicz is elected, the very next day they will file. She would get sworn in, I think it's April 2nd. Let's strike that. April 4th is the general election, and you get sworn in August, August 2nd. The very next day, they would file a gerrymandering suit to throw it out. They would throw it out. Her main opponent is a guy named Dan Kelly. Daniel Kelly is a right-wing Trumper, believes strongly in gerrymandering, would have voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the primary. And remember, it was only a 4-3 decision that certified Joe Biden, even though he won the primary. And that's only because Brian Hagedorn, one of the Republicans, who I think was straight up about this, read the Constitution, said, look, it doesn't matter who I voted for. I'm going to follow the will of the Wisconsin voters. But three of them didn't. And this guy, Kelly, would not. And he is as far apart from Janet Protasiewicz as you can get. Third one is Jennifer Doro. Now, Jennifer Doro is a judge in Waukesha County. And she got a little ink today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to mention that because it's extremely important. There was a fellow named Cade Remington UWM student who died of fentanyl poisoning. And Michael Doro, Janet Doro's son, is under investigation for having sold him that fentanyl. People who are friends of Cade Remington saw him at Axel's Bar in Milwaukee, Oakland Avenue. I know that area. I know that bar. Saw him go out and go across the street and take something from Michael Doro. Came back. He went in the bathroom and a bouncer threw him out. He took what he thought was some kind of an opiate. It looks like it was laced with fentanyl, unknown to him, and he died about 1:30 that morning. Two of Cade Remington's friends told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that in October of 2021, Michael Doro, Jennifer Doro's son, showed them and others via a private Snapchat story what he said was a text from his mother, Judge Doro, that said, "Are you still dealing drugs? Are you still dealing drugs?" The father of Cade Remington confronted Jennifer Doro in a restaurant in Madison, and she walked away and refused to talk to him. Michael Doro has lawyered up. It's not clear who is paying for the lawyer. And Jennifer Doro simply won't respond to any questions such as who's paying for the lawyer, why won't your son cooperate with law enforcement to find out the origin of this fentanyl and so on. Fentanyl can kill. The adage is one pill can kill. This fentanyl typically comes from Mexico. There are two fentanyl factories down there. The Mexican government is crooked. The parliament is crooked. The senior law enforcement people are crooked. One of them is on, a guy named Luna is on trial right now. He was the head of the equivalent of their FBI, who was in with the cartel and got money from the cartel. There's another one who is the equivalent of the defense secretary who we were prosecuting. And Mexico demanded his return to be tried there. And if they didn't, they would expose our undercover agents in Mexico who would have then been tortured and killed. So under Trump, we turned over this guy and he went back and he was, quote, acquitted, end quote, and praised, even though we had hundreds of emails showing he was on the take from the cartels. Mexico is a narco state, it's crooked. Crooked narco state. This fentanyl comes up from there. They make it, looks like little candies, and one pill can kill. And one pill killed Cade Reddington. Now, they're still investigating it because they have to prove a line of custody of that pill to Cade Reddington. But my question is to Judge Doro, if you sent, as your son Michael Doro showed to people, a text back in October 2021 saying, "Are you still dealing drugs?" What did you know about that? Why didn't you turn over information to the law enforcement simply to stop other people from getting killed? Because Cade Reddington was died shortly after that. Got to stop fentanyl from coming in. Now, Jennifer Doro has no business running for Supreme Court for a lot of reasons. First of all, she's only doing it because she was randomly assigned that case about that evil murderer who ran over people in the parade in Waukesha. So there's a lot of TV, all right? And he represented himself. He was an evil clown. She sentenced him to life, which she was required to do by law. It was not particularly difficult from a judicial point of view, but with all that, the TV, it went to her head. Well, she should not have run, quite frankly, especially with her son showing people saying, text from her saying, "You're still dealing drugs," and there's no indication that she's cooperating at all about where this fentanyl came from to prevent other deaths. The other thing is you can't run for Supreme Court at the last minute just because you were on TV a little bit. So Jennifer Doro, in my opinion, is not going to come out of that primary. And frankly, in addition to that, the E-Lines in Illinois, who have the U-Line company, who put in something like $27 million. So like Ron Johnson, Sly Mandela, Barnes, have said they're just waiting in the wings to pour millions in to slime whoever the one of the two Democrats emerges. Well, here's the deal. You remember the sliming that happened to Mandela Barnes, and he was totally innocent. They just kept up putting up pictures of him and the guy who killed people in the Waukesha parade as if there was some linkage. Enough people bought it so that Mandela lost by, I think, about 27,000 votes statewide. The fourth candidate is the Honorable Reverend Mitchell, fellow named Everett Mitchell. Everett Mitchell is a Dane County judge, and Everett Mitchell is the fellow whose former wife accused him of slipping her a sleeping pill and then having sex with her when she was unable to consent. He denied it, said any sex was consensual. She's the one who also said that he abused her so much that she checked herself into a hospital. He denied that he was the cause of her going to the hospital. He said that he had such problems that she checked him into a mental health facility. He said he checked himself into the mental health facility, said he was homeless for a period of time. He founded a church, and he is now the pastor. Well, I don't know where to begin on that. 3 weeks to the primary, and gerrymandering is at stake. And do I want the billionaire donors of the Republican Party sliming him the way they slimed Mandela? And here, they're going to have more to work with. You're going to have then another 6 weeks to the general election of, did he check himself into the mental institution or the facility, I should say? Or does she check him in? Did she check herself into the hospital because he abused her or for some other reason? Sex consensual, even though she'd taken a sleeping pill? Or did he give her the sleeping pill? I don't want that. I want an end of gerrymandering. Let's get real here. The final will be Janet Protasiewicz, and she will win, and we'll get rid of gerrymandering. On a break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
I'm fixing a hole. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And by the way, this is Matt Flynn coming to you in real time now. What you just heard for the first segment was yesterday's segment. That's because there was a minor computer glitch, which we have now resolved. So this is a live show going forward. I see the lines are lighting up, and I will get to you in a moment. But I want to follow up, and oddly enough, it's the same subject of yesterday's opening segment, which you just heard again. And this has to do with the Supreme Court race. I'll give you some good news and then challenging news. The good news is that Janet Protasiewicz, the front runner, raised more money than all the other three combined. The other three have more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister, every one of them. Janet has just been endorsed by the Carpenters, just been endorsed by the North Central State Regional Council of Carpenters. She'd already been endorsed by the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, Local 212, by the Bricklayers, a lot of friends in the Bricklayers, in the Allied Craftsmen of Wisconsin, by the Operating Engineers, Local 139, by the UAW, one of the most strongest unions in the country. This is the Wisconsin Cap Council, and the Wisconsin laborers, a lot of good friends there, district council, Wisconsin laborers. So you're talking now about the Carpenters, American Federation of Teachers, Bricklayers, Operating Engineers, UAW, laborers. She has strong labor support, much stronger than any other candidate. And I will get to you in a moment about the challenges, but I'm going to go to the lines. Adrian of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Adrian of Madison?
Hey, Okay, Matt. Now, in discussing Joe Manchin in the past, you pointed out that 60% of the people in West Virginia have Social Security as their only income. And now, West Virginia is a deeply red state. I think Trump won by more than 20 points last time around in West Virginia. How, given what the Republicans want to do to Social Security, how do we understand the people of West Virginia voting for Republicans?
That's a, you should teach political science at Harvard. I'm not kidding. That is a brilliant question. Let me get to that right now. I was going to get to some challenges in the Supreme Court race, but you raised a point that I want to get to right now, and I will. And then we'll get back to the Supreme Court race. Let me give you the facts. Let me give you my feelings about them. Joe Manchin released statistics, and it's true, 60%, 60, of the people in West Virginia, and these, of course, would be senior citizens, people over 65, rely almost exclusively and certainly principally on Social Security and Medicare. If it weren't for Social Security, which was enacted in 1935 and was initially going to be declared unconstitutional by a Republican Supreme Court, and if it wasn't for Medicare, which was enacted in the 60s, people down there would have no health care, seniors I'm talking about, and no income. No income. What Manchin has proposed to bail out, he doesn't have to be bailed out, Social Security is very healthy, but to continue it being healthy is to raise the level of income on which you pay Social Security tax from $160,000 on up. Just eliminate it, just like it's eliminated for Medicare. Medicare, you pay a little over 1%. It doesn't matter what income you have. They don't stop it at 160. They go up to 10 million, 100 million, whatever you got. Social Security should be the same. I agree with him on it. Don't agree with some of his other stuff about not overcoming the filibuster to put voting rights in, but that'll wait for another day. Adrian's good point was this. Why do people down there vote Republican? And by the way, Adrian, I think that Trump lost won by more than 20 points. That was second only to Wyoming, I think, in his margin. And you're absolutely right. That's what they did. West Virginia has, I think, an admirable culture, but you got to understand something. West Virginia has the highest percentage per capita now, per capita, of Medal of Honor winners of any state in the country. Now, California and New York have more, but they have a lot more population. But these guys down in West Virginia, you know, they don't back down very easily. They don't back down very easily. And I think what happens is the Republican Party is very skillful about lathering them up and on a lot of other issues. And then they just get a bee in their bonnet, and that's how they vote. You'd have to talk to them to find out. And the Republicans aren't going to come right out and go, I'm going to get rid of Social Security. And let me tell you the sneaky thing they've just done. I'm going to go right to this, the sneaky thing that they have just done. They initially said that they were going to not raise the debt limit. Remember that? We weren't going to raise the debt limit because they want to cut the Social Security and Medicare. They started to get their hats handed to them. You know, then what happened? They come out with a new thing right now. They've withdrawn their call for Social Security and Medicare cuts in public. Now they only say they're not going to increase the debt limit. And they don't say why. And when you press them, they go, well, if Joe Biden wants to cut Social Security and Medicare, we'll look at that. Do they think this sneaky, weird stuff works? Come on. Come on. They're not going to increase the debt limit, which will shut down the government. And right now, Janet Yellen is having to not pay into pensions, a lot of pensions, to try to pay our other bills. And the Republican Party is going, well, I don't know. I mean, Joe Biden's doing that. Nobody here but us chickens, boss. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. You want to cut Social Security? Oh, no, no, no. You can raise the debt limit? Well, no, no. Oh, you're not. Okay. What would it take to raise you the debt limit? Oh, I don't know. It is time for Joe Biden to stop playing games with these people. If we had a foreign enemy like ISIS or the commie Ruskies attacking us, we'd beat them. Right now, we have an enemy. It's the Republican Party going to destroy our economy, which is worse than what is being done militarily. You've got to invoke the 14th Amendment, Joe, that says the faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned, and it specifically mentions pensions. Going to break. You're on the lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you when the lines don't hang up. Back right after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Don't hang up. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill of Oconomowoc?
Matt, we talk about this quite a bit. When do you think the Democrats or America is going to wake up? And when I see on the news Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, investigating the FBI, that's why don't we get the mafia to investigate them? I mean, you've got to be kidding. These guys took an oath of office to protect us from domestic terrorism. They broke the oath of office, and they're walking around like, well, yeah, we're gonna look into the FBI. Really? That is an insult to every American. It's an insult to every veteran that fought for this country. It's a complete insult for this. Are we going to be dumbed down to that's what we let our government do? The terrorists?
You nailed it as usual, Bill. Here's what it is. It's been described as Al Capone will investigate the FBI. That's really what's going on. And, you know, they have this thing. It's a subcommittee called the Weaponization of the Federal Government - FBI and DOJ. These people, some of them, by the way, had asked for precautionary pardons because they were afraid they committed a felony because they had committed a felony in the insurrection. And they demand their files from the FBI and the DOJ. And, you know, here's criminal law 101, if you ever went to go to law school, is the prosecutors do not comment and they do not give you anything until you are charged. And when you are charged under Brady v. Maryland, which is a very, very well-known case, they are required to give you any exculpatory evidence. But criminals don't just form committees and go, turn over what you got and attack them. And you're absolutely right. This is the mafia. This is Al Capone attacking the FBI. I'm tired of the attacks on the FBI. You know, they want to defund the FBI. They hate the FBI because Trump told them to, because the FBI was onto his collusion with Russia. Thanks for calling, Bill. Good as always. Kurt of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Kurt of Madison?
I've got two comments and then a question. We have proven to be Charlie Brown for over 20 years. Of course they're going to do what they're going to do. The Democrats have capitulated and bent over as long as I can remember. I'm just slightly younger than you are. The second problem is, again, who does Biden appoint as the DOJ? Someone who's just not equipped to really do the heavy lifting. So here's my question. Given the new rules on the floor, why don't we Democrats just start calling for a new vote to replace McCarthy? Just keep doing it to harass him.
That's excellent. You know, I tell you something, Kurt, I agree with you. I think that Merrick Garland was a disaster of an appointment. I think that Joe looked at him and he thought, well, this is a sort of an eminence guy. Everybody thinks he's a victim because they screwed him on the Supreme Court deal. And he kind of looks the part, so we put him in there. Merrick Garland likes to be liked. Merrick Garland is not doing anything. He's frightened. And so he keeps investigating. How much more do you got to investigate? You have Trump on video doing this stuff. And it reminds me of Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, who's really bad news, who let Trump's CFO off, Weisselberg, with 5 months, and he didn't have to testify against Trump. He had to testify against the Trump organization, and he didn't do very much there either. You don't let a guy off like that. And Alvin Bragg is not going to prosecute Trump. And I don't think that Merrick Garland will. He turns it over to Jack Smith. Now, Jack Smith is a good prosecutor, but he's a former Trump appointee in the Middle District of Tennessee as an assistant U.S. attorney. And he's going to take more time. And then get what? It'll be the middle of the presidential campaign. And you're going to what? Identify the guy who's ahead in the or indict the guy who's ahead in the polls. If you indict him, indict him. Do it right now. I agree. Your point is is good and is funny in a way, but not so funny. And that is, under the new rules, anybody can call for a vote on the chair. So, Hakeem Jeffries, one of these guys, should go, okay, we don't want this guy. And then what will happen is you need five other votes, and they're the right-wing nuts on their, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Gateses and all that will rally around McCarthy to a point. You could continue doing it. The problem with that is, sort of reminds me that the Republicans in this state, Tony Evers wants a special session on anything, taxes, abortion. They're required to do it. They gavel in and gavel out in the 30 seconds. So that's what would happen with McCarthy. And at some point, we would look obstructive. I think it's a funny deal. And I'll tell you what, I agree with the idea of doing it. If the time comes when we understand that some of the right-wing nuts are getting dissatisfied with him, and you can give him an avenue for that expression. Excellent call, Kurt. Thanks a lot. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Well, happy Friday, Matt. Not so funny was losing to Ron Johnson, which brings me to this. The Ron Johnson money is going to go behind either Kelly or Durham. Most likely, Kelly and her mantra is going to be too many liberals for the Supreme Court. So I have to ask myself, what's a conservative on the Supreme Court? Forever chemicals in the water and election deniers. You know, of all things, I never thought conservatives would try to deny fair and free elections. A lot of other things, but I never thought that. So what I'm saying here, if we need to get back to fair maps to get our government back, which would cure, I don't know, 70% of our problems, maybe more. And I don't know what they're afraid of, fair maps. Goodness sakes, Iowa has them. They're still Republican. You run good candidates, you win. But this way, it's rigged. So all this stuff, Matt, at least in this state, all comes back to the Supreme Court race. And it's going to get down and dirty because the Ron Johnson money, you see what they did to Mandela. So I'm just going to leave it with that on a Friday. We got to win this thing. We can't lose another race like the Ron Johnson race, or we're in. Thank God Tony won. He's a rock star in my mind. So, okay, thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
All right, thanks for calling, Paul. Yeah, and let me finish up what I was going to say when I came back in that second segment. And for anybody who was listening early on, you do remember that the first segment was a rerun from yesterday. Well, we cured some computer glitches, but now we're back live. And we have been for a while, and I see people on the line. I'm going to get to you shortly. But real quick, in response to Wisco Paul, what I want to say is, do you realize that the primary, February 21, is 3 weeks from Tuesday? 3 weeks. Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, is a magnificent candidate, far and away the most experienced candidate with the best reputation of this entire crowd. The other three have baggage up the wazoo. Here's the thing. She has just announced, and I said this earlier, she's now been endorsed by the Carpenters, American Federation of Teachers, Bricklayers, Operating Engineers, UAW, and Wisconsin Laborers. I also want to say, however, that it came out today, believe it or not, you know, she has raised good money, more than the other three combined, by the way. However, the Republican billionaires like Uline have now said they're going to put seven figures. You know how much that is? It's over $1 million. We don't know how much. Over $1 million they're going to put in to, quote, educate the voter. What does that mean? It means that right now they don't know whether to put it in to back Kelly or Doro because they don't know who's going to win. And they don't know who to slime right now, Protasiewicz or Ev Mitchell, because they theoretically don't know who's going to win. I know who's going to win. She's going to win. She's going to be nominated. And you know something? I'm beginning to think that Kelly will also get through because Doro has this terrible thing with the fentanyl death of the UWM student that's being investigated. Her son's being investigated. And there was an allegation that there had been a text that she had sent to him back in October of 21 saying, are you still dealing drugs? And this is before the kid died. And it's a mess. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported this. And so it's under investigation, and we're waiting for her response and Michael Doro's response. And if this is incorrect information, they can respond. But we're talking about a Supreme Court race. So I think Kelly will probably come through. But number one will be Janet Protasiewicz. And then they are going to unleash the mother of all campaigns. The New York Times had a thing the other day that said, hey, this could go 30 million. The record for Supreme Court race was 18 million in Illinois a while ago. This could go to 30 million. These billionaires sit like tarantulas, like spiders across state lines, dumping money to screw up our state. I'm tired of it. If you see an ad that, quote, educates the voters and, you know, slams the Democrats, this is being paid for by out-of-state billionaires who are trying to slime our state, and I'm damn tired of it. Be aware. The lines are live. Do not hang up. I'm going to get you real quick. Andrew of Detroit, you're next in line. What's your mind to Andrew of Detroit?
I would like to thank your advertisers for supporting your show. It's so necessary. Thank you all.
Thank you.
You were saying the Democrats would look obstructionist if they started to call votes to get rid of McCarthy. I think it's about time that we do obstruct MAGAs and insurrectionists and would-be authoritarians. I think it's time. We'll call them out for what they are. And, let's obstruct that. Thanks, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Excellent. Excellent point. And I think, you know, you're echoing what Kurt said. And I hadn't really thought of it in that sense. But you could put, especially when they won't raise the debt limit, and it looks like Biden may not invoke the 14th Amendment, and we're going to be in a very, very precarious situation. Call it on them. Call it on him and get up and say a reason we're doing it is he's betraying our country. He won't raise the debt limit. He's going to shut down the economy. That's something that the commie Ruskies and ISIS would like to do. I think that's a good point. Thank you very much. Todd or Billy, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Todd or Billy of the north side of Madison?
Hey, Matt, I got two kind of related questions about, you know, things that folks are saying we should push for. But I'm not really clear on the mechanisms of how they would happen. I'm starting to get emails saying, call your senator or representative to push for repealing Citizens United. I don't understand how you repeal or even nullify a Supreme Court decision through legislation. And kind of in a related way, you know, you've talked about elect Judge Janet and get rid of gerrymandering in our state. And I understand that, you know, somebody would have to put a case forward. The Wisconsin Supreme Court would have to rule on it. But then I don't know how would we actually end up with fair maps before the automatic time of redistricting 10 years from now or 7 years from now, I guess.
Excellent questions. I'm going to respond to them both. And if I can't do it before the break, I will do it after. Number one, when it comes to Citizens United, that was a crooked opinion, 2010. And that overruled 100 years of precedent, 100 years of congressional action and Supreme Court precedent. And they just said all of those people were wrong. This Supreme Court is acting unconstitutionally. And the question is, what do you do when the court that's supposed to say if the executive and the Congress are unconstitutional is itself unconstitutional? Well, the only way you can overrule it, you're right, under our system of law, if there isn't an armed revolution, and Citizens United was the one that basically said that all this dark money, crooked money can come in. The way you do it is a constitutional amendment, or the way you do it is to appoint more Supreme Court justices in Democratic administrations. And at some point, when we have a 5-4 majority, they'll say the Citizens United Court was crooked. They won't say it that way. They'll say they made a mistake and they'll reinstate the prior law. So there's two ways you can do it. When the Supreme Court did that, you're right. You can't just repeal it. The other thing you do is But getting a constitutional amendment takes three-quarters of the states and two-thirds of the Congress, and it's sort of pie in the sky. In my view, it's going to take more Democratic justices, and that's going to take a few administrations. I'll hit your other point right afterwards. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before we go to the lines, I want to respond to Todd or Billy's second question, and that is, that's Judge Janet wins April 4. We've got to get her through the primary. Everybody vote February 21, but Judge Janet Protasiewicz wins April 4, sworn in April August 2nd. Somebody files a lawsuit August 3rd, gets up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Then by a 4-3 majority, they will hold that our present maps are rigged, that they're crooked, that they're wrong. And the way it works, Todd or Billy, is then they say to the legislature, you have X time to come up with fair maps, or we are going to appoint a special master, you know, some expert with statistics and political science, maybe a couple of them from UW-Madison, Marquette, and whatever, and they're going to come up with fair maps. Iowa has fair maps, by the way, and they have that by their own law. Michigan now does, simply because they have a referendum procedure that we don't have. And Utah, Republican state, has drop boxes. They love them. Our Republican-oriented Supreme Court outlawed them. So that's what she would do. Now, the legislature will drag its feet. They'll, you know, it's a Gableman-Voss type legislature. They can't be trusted. So they appoint a special master. Special master, and this, by the way, is what was done a lot in the past. I remember when I was a state party chairman in the 80s, nobody could agree on maps, and you had a master come in. So that's what they call them, or a special referee, or that kind of thing. And then they come up with maps. And then the Supreme Court adopts those maps. The Supreme Court adopts those maps and orders that that is how the election should proceed. Now, think about the timing. You know, to get that in effect by the 2024 elections, it would take a rocket docket. But when Janet Protasiewicz wins, the four Democrats will then, they vote on the Chief Justice. The present Chief Justice will be out, or won't be the Chief Justice anymore. And they will, let's say Rebecca Dallet or one of them, they'll be the Chief Justice. They can rocket docket this stuff. They can set it as quickly as possible. But remember, candidates have to circulate their papers in the spring, and if it's not in place by then, it won't be in place by 2024. But it sure as heck will be in place by 2026. That is how it's done. Otherwise, redistricting will be between 2030 and 2032. This Supreme Court race is about gerrymandering, period, end of story. And if people don't get out and vote for Judge Janet, we're going to have gerrymandering, not just till 2030, but till 2040, because they'll do the same thing. Gary Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gary?
Yeah, Matt, quick. Hey, why can't Yellen just cut the paycheck from the Congress people until they approve the debt limit? And my other thing, I'm really concerned with Ukraine. I know all these tanks and everything, but hell, Russia's not going to wait 6 months to a year till those tanks get there and people learn how to use them. Those things should have been there back last summer. So I'm concerned that, and they want planes. So, I mean, like I said, I'm concerned there. I don't know. Don't know what to say about it, but it's too little too late, it seems like. Thank you, Matt. That's all.
No, I think those are excellent. And first of all, with Judge with Janet Yellen, that is kind of a funny solution, cut their pay. But what I would simply do is Joe Biden say, I invoke the 14th Amendment, full faith and credit, and I direct Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve to issue more bonds, get the cash in from the investors and pay everything. They will then go to court. You have six tarantulas on the Supreme Court who have betrayed our country continuously. I'll be very honest with you. If I were the president and then they said, try to enjoin him and do it, I would say what Andrew Jackson said, how many soldiers do you have? Shut up. This is not in your sphere of jurisdiction. Yes, it would be a constitutional crisis, but so would reneging on all our debts. And when it comes to Ukraine, I couldn't agree more. Joe Biden, though, did the right thing. If he had early on simply gone full hog, Germany and France would have chickened out and he wouldn't have put together the NATO alliance. And he did do it. He's also been stabbed in the back by Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, and a lot of Republicans. And he's done a masterful job. But here's what I do. He freed up those Abrams tanks. They're not going to get there till next fall. But the Leopard tanks of Germany aren't going to get there right away from them. But Poland and the Czech Republic, and so they all have them, and they're going to give them right now. So that helps. I think we've got to give them F-15 aircraft, combat aircrafts. And an increasing number of admirals and generals are saying the same thing, and they agree with you. They need firepower against the Russians. The Russians are sadists. They're genocidal sadists. There are 145 million people squatting on 11 time zones of gas and oil, and all they export is sadism, genocide, and fraud. And they've got to be beaten, and you can't continuously have Ukrainian women raped, apartment buildings destroyed, grids destroyed, and nothing happening in Russia. You can't have that. We have to have these combat aircraft that go and blast the hell out of their ships in the Black Sea and on all the launch sites of these people. Thanks a lot for calling. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're the final call that we'll squeeze in. What's your mind today, Gene?
Matt, for all of the important issues and everybody's raised some, you know, we want our democracy restored in the state of Wisconsin. All voters benefit from fair maps. Fair judges equal fair elections, fair environmental laws, and fairness throughout the state. And so I hope that we remember that, because a lot of people, you know, they're putting out there, oh, this judge is progressive or a liberal. They want fair maps or redistricting. No, we want fair maps, period. Independents do, Republicans do, all Wisconsinites do. And I hope people remember that. Fair judges equal fairness in our state. And I hope that people will remember that when they go and vote. Thank you, Matt. I didn't mean to go on and on. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, excellent, Gene. Same to you. And let me just say, February 21, 3 weeks from Tuesday, vote in the primary. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet. She'll put a stop to gerrymandering. The other three have more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister, every one of them. And we do not want gerrymandering for another 10 years, number one. Number two, you're going to see a seven-figure buy on TV from these tarantulas from out of state, these billionaires misstating things, lying. And the minute that we have a Democratic nominee in the finals, which will be Janet Protasiewicz, they will unleash the slime machine. They are slime. They are out of state tarantula billionaires. They're slime. When you see their stuff on TV, say it. Tell people that it's slime. Okay, this has been a great show. A lot of great call-ins. Everybody have a great weekend. Matt Flynn Direct will be back on Monday, same time, same place. And I'm signing off for today.